Well, if you have your Bibles, open to Genesis 39 tonight. I'd like to finish a message that we, I don't know if I'll finish it, but we'll be out on time. But I'd like to look tonight at the life of Joseph and continue the study that we started. You know, Joseph's life and this true historical account is an amazing lesson to us. You know, sometimes I think the most simple lessons in life in the scriptures are the ones that sometimes we just kind of look right over. And in the life of Joseph, Pastor, your mic's on. I'm gonna turn Pastor's mic off. I just heard him clear his throat. I've heard him do that for years. I can tell when he's got his mic on. But in the life of Joseph, it's very interesting because when you look at him and you watch him endure circumstances that were totally out of his control, and tonight you might be going through a circumstance that is completely out of your control. And you might be saying, but I don't know what to do. Joseph is a great lesson, even from a young age, from 17 years of age, as he, you know, earlier when he got that coat of many colors, which we looked at last time, how that his brothers misjudged him, misused him, abused him, did so many things against Joseph's character, and yet his character was what came to light. And tonight I'd just like to look at Genesis chapter 39 and look at Joseph's life of faithfulness. And this is really part two, I guess. And this would be Genesis 39, and we won't read all of verses 1 through 23. I know we're fairly familiar with this, but let's begin. The Bible says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down hither." Now, this would be an illustration of, you know, when things go bad. Have you ever known someone who bad things happen to them and then more bad things happen to them? And it just seems like accidents always happen to that person. Joseph was a prime example of someone who it seems like something bad happened and then something bad happened and then something bad again happened. But it's a reminder that our God always cares for us. And God focuses on us and wants to be our friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Genesis 39 gives us one of the most instructive lessons on temptation and how to endure temptation in the scriptures. If you notice in verse 2, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man." So Joseph was in a situation, he's a slave, he's sold by the Ishmaelites, he finally gets out of the Ishmaelites, and then he gets put in a good position here in Potiphar's house. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And then verse 3, "And his master saw that the Lord was with him." And you know, God, even in the heathen, God has put something innate in all of us where we notice someone who is godly. And I have seen in situations where there was genocide in Rwanda, I have seen people that have come out of horrible, horrible circumstances. And they would say, you know, and I would meet them years later. And they would say, "I knew this guy was a true Christian because of this, because of this." And you might say, you know, nobody comes up to me and says anything, but people are watching your life. They're watching my life. And even though many things are hidden to us here on this earth, one day they're going to be revealed in heaven. You might be going through a situation tonight that you say, you know, I don't think anybody knows the pressure that I'm under and how I keep doing the right thing. I keep doing the right thing, but I'm getting tired. Have you ever been weary in well-doing? The Bible says you reap if you what? Faint not. And tonight we're going to look at Joseph. He says he was a prosperous man and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Verse 4, "And Joseph found grace in his sight and he served him and he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord is upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he did, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored." That word goodly is a handsome person. "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, Lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. And he hath committed all that he hath into my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Verse 10, "And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And you go on and you read the rest of the story, and you see someone like Joseph who experienced a great injustice, a great allegation, a great accusation. And then you look at this situation in his life, and how is he going to respond? He responded the right way in almost every situation that's recorded in Scripture. I want you to see, number one, Joseph was faithful to recognize the ways of temptation in Potiphar's house. He was faithful to recognize the ways of temptation in Potiphar's house. And this is something that we can look at tonight and learn from. You know, the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It means it's good for us. It brings profit to our lives when we study this. But I'm afraid too many times we can read over portions of Scripture like this, and perhaps we fail to realize that Satan, if you notice there in your notes, Satan has a strategy of temptation for us all. Satan knows exactly what will knock Jeremy Pittman down. He knows exactly the strategy to use on you today. You know, it takes some willpower, but it just takes a godly Christian to look in the Scriptures and say, how did Joseph do this? And we're going to look at this tonight and see that even though Satan has a strategy of temptation, you know, the Bible says temptation comes to everyone. But God will provide a way of escape. How did Joseph find a way of escape? The passage of Scripture before us is like a game film of our opponent. It shows our opponent's favorite and most successful plays. And as you study this, you're going to see, first of all, you're going to see that Satan's strategy was to tempt Joseph by the things that he would see. So if you look there in your blank, Satan's strategy was to tempt Joseph by the things he would see. It was a visual temptation. Temptation often starts with one not guarding the eyes. And if you notice here, his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. Now, this was something she cast her eyes upon him. And Joseph immediately had to make a decision in his heart. I'm not going to let my heart go in this direction. God knows the way he's built us. And God knows I've given you everything you need to defeat temptation. But Satan also knows the playbook on how to defeat every man, every woman in this room. I think this temptation was one of those things that was through the eye gate. You look in the Scriptures how many times Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld in Genesis 13:10. You remember Eve saw, Achan saw in Joshua 7:21, David saw in 2 Samuel 11:2. These all fell into grievous sin because they did not guard the eye gate. You know, tonight, it's important that you and I guard our eyes. It might be a simple thing for us to say, but how many times have I had to deal with someone who has just gotten off the way and gotten involved with things that they should have never seen? And when you see it, you look away. You don't go back to it. But one of the grievous things of ministry is I've seen men, preachers, preach purity conferences, get wrecked by this sin. You know why? Because they didn't guard their heart. It tells me this, if they can fall to it, Jeremy Pittman certainly can fall to it. Anyone in this room can fall to this. But we look and we see, you know, when we lose focus, any of you ever lost focus on something? You know, pastor's really good at focusing in on something. Any of you know pastor? He can focus in on something and he can forget everything else and focus on one thing. I've often thought he would make a great Fortune 500 business. You know, I can just see him just really pushing forward and doing great in the business world. But I was noticing some companies, one of the main things they said is when you have a new idea, when you have a strategy to push forward a product, I read this, when companies lose focus, new products will flop. And tell me if you remember any of these products, because it reminds me of this, Satan never loses focus on you. He never loses focus on your family. He never loses focus on knowing the one thing that he can do to keep us from Almighty God. He can't keep us from the relationship, but he can keep us from the fellowship. And the one thing that he can do to us tonight is to get us to just be lured away by temptation to not serve God. Well, these companies, it says companies lose focus and their new products will flop. And this is the 24/7 Wall Street blog reviewed some of the greatest product launch blunders in recent times, including Google Glass. Anybody remember Google Glass? Any of you remember Burger King's Satisfries? Anyone? That must have been when I was in Uganda, because I don't remember that. It wasn't very satisfying, because look here, the New Coke. Anybody remember New Coke? Yeah, I remember New Coke. Tasted terrible. Windows Vista. Drew, do you remember Windows Vista? That's considered a flop now, I guess. That was a flop right there. Okay. Hindsight is 2020, but many of these product gaffes were the result of a company losing focus on what they do best, according to this Wall Street 7 report. For instance, consider the Colgate kitchen entree line. Now, when I say Colgate, what do you think of? Okay, you don't think of prepared frozen meals with the name Colgate on them? That'd be kind of weird, pulling those out of the freezer. And they were prepared in 1982. Their big launch was frozen foods. It didn't work. For some reason, Americans didn't associate pre-prepared frozen meals with the name Colgate. There were also Harley Davidson's unfocused ventures into, yes, you guessed it, cologne. Any of you have Harley Davidson cologne on tonight? I don't. Brandon? No, I'm just kidding. It's not Brandon. We see here they Harley Davidson had cologne. They had aftershave. Brandon, you ever try the aftershave? No? Okay. They all bombed. In 1979, Clairol. Anybody remember Clairol? Remember my mom used to get Clairol? It says Clairol came out with the Touch of Yogurt shampoo. Yeah, that's what happened to it, which caused confusion as some people started eating their shampoo for breakfast. Gross. Or consider PepsiCo subsidiary Frito-Lay in 2005, their foray into the lip balm industry. According to 24/7 Wall Street, while Cheetos has become a popular snack for more than six decades, Cheetos-flavored lip balm failed to catch on with consumers. Cannot imagine. Cheetos-flavored lip balm. But, you know, somebody had an idea, and their strategy was to push it. And when they got off the focus of Colgate doing toothpaste, what happens? Everything falls apart. Do you understand? Our one job as Christians is to just please God. It's not a hard thing, but Satan makes it so difficult by throwing all these different things in, and he'll get your focus on many other things in your family other than spending time with them spiritually. Well, isn't Satan the master of disguise? Well, we see here Satan's strategy was to tempt Joseph to get him off focus of the things that he would do in his natural work day. It was a visual temptation, but then we see letter B. The temptation came when Joseph was experiencing great success as he was prosperous, the Bible says, in all his work, and he was promoted to overseer. So you see, it wasn't just a time of the things that he would see, but it was a time that he was a great success. You know, I think we all have to be careful. Whenever we see the Lord blessing us and we're in a place of success, Satan is not far along to try to knock us off. And we see here, I've often thought of chess. How many of you, if you know this, I'll be thoroughly impressed. Does anybody know the longest game of chess ever played? Anybody want to guess? 20 hours. Anybody want to guess how many moves it took? Chess is one of the main games of strategy, right? Strategy, you're watching, you're seeing the moves on a board. 269 moves. Over 20 hours. In theory, do you know how many moves you can make on a chessboard in one game? 5,949 moves. In theory. You know, tonight, there is no theory that Satan knows how to checkmate us like that. So we have to come up with a strategy to defeat this temptation. We see temptation comes in many forms. We see it came here when he was prosperous in his work and he was promoted to overseer, and maybe, you know, I think of Uzziah. One of the most tragic falls recorded in Scripture, which illustrates this truth, is that of King Uzziah. What a king he was. His successes were many, but Scripture says he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. 2 Chronicles 26:15. So after a time of great success, Uzziah fell to temptation. So it's important that we realize maybe we're being blessed financially. Maybe you're seeing great things in your family and in your home. Don't get away from the God of heaven. Focus on the things that God would have us focus on. We see, letter C, Satan's strategy presented itself during a time of secrecy. Verse 11. Notice in verse 11 it says here, "And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business." So it tells me this, we can be doing the right thing. At work this week, you can be in the right place at the right time. And God's saying, I need a Christian to stand up during this situation. And what happens here? He was at the right place. He was there at the right time. Yet Satan had a different plan. And to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment. And then we have the situation come up. So we see he was just going about doing his business. Now, obviously, he was a slave. He was being forced to do different things, probably even against, I'm sure in our day and age, we'd say never put yourself in that situation, right? But in this situation, he was doing, I believe, the things he would have to do. But now the pressure was on him on what decision would he make. The timing of temptation is seen in the last attempt of Potiphar's wife to seduce Joseph. She waited until no one was around and then she attacked. She sought to use the advantage of secrecy to encourage sinful conduct. You know, we ran an orphanage for about 14 years. And one of the number one things that came down to when I'd ask a child, hey, this decision wasn't good, what happened? And one of the number one things they would tell me is, they would say, Pastor, no one will find out. And they said, and different kids did different things, and we would come up with certain plans and procedures, and we would find out, you know, when things happened was when they thought nobody would find out. And it's not just us today. When we think something's going to be done in secret, we have to guard our hearts. And temptation is often like getting hooked. I wrote down here by a fishing lure. Any of you like to go fishing? Anybody like to go fishing? I was fishing in the Outer Banks with my daughter a month ago. And we were out on this beach and we were picking up. Anybody know what sand fleas are? They're not gross, but you just pick them up out of the sand, and you put them on a hook, and you throw it out there. And so there's a swell of water that goes in, and we saw a fisherman there, and he was pulling out these huge, you know, 8-inch, 12-inch fish. No, that's a fish story, but he was pulling out some large fish. And so I went over to him, and I was just borrowing brains, and I said, hey, could I ask you what you're using with this and that? And he was just picking up these sand fleas and throwing them out there, had them on his hook, and he was catching these large fish. So we started doing the same thing. He said, you know, the secret to this, and we started talking for a while. His son is a professional fisherman. And he said, you know, his son was fishing over a little distance away. He said, you know, the secret is fish have an appetite and they don't think. You know, you think of a fish, really just eyes and gills, and their appetite is just for one thing and they focus on it and they eat. They don't reason. They don't go around. And you would think a fish, if he was smart, would go, there's a hook, there's a line. But no, what does he do? He swallows it. He just waits for the bait and he eats it. And I was reading about some of this in a fishing book, and they said this: to a fish, life is see the bait, want the bait, and eat the bait. So the bait is important. You know, Satan knows that in our lives. He knows what bait to use to draw us in. I see here, and I wrote this down because when I read it, it said we just kept... grabbing my notes here. He said to a fish, life is about the maximum gratification of appetite at the minimum expenditure of energy. He told me this is why the fish are in this one swell. He said, because they don't have to do anything. The bait is there and they just go in and they don't have to expend any energy. You know, that's the problem. How David got in problems with Bathsheba is he was in a place where he shouldn't have been during a time of war, just not expending any energy. And he saw this woman bathing, and he got into this terrible sin. You know, tonight we have to be careful to not have ourselves in secret. We have to be careful to watch ourselves and not get lured, because once we bite on that bait and Satan's got us on the line, that fish, you know, have you ever wondered what fish think underneath the water? Like, oh, there's Joe. Bill just got pulled out and they're still just sitting there eating the bait. I've often thought, you know, Jeremy, you're a lot like those fish. You can watch it happen to somebody else. You can watch somebody else get caught up in sin. But Satan has the bait for you, and he has the bait for me. We see letter D. The temptation was steady and sustained over time. In verses 10 through 12, as you read the account, you'll look at it and she just didn't let up. She didn't quit. She just kept coming and coming after Joseph. And you know, that's how temptation is many times. It's where in a hurricane, I think I've been through three hurricanes now. And when you have a hurricane coming in and it's not the huge wind gust of 150 miles an hour, it's when it's those, and I'm not saying that doesn't do great damage, but it's the sustained wind gust. Sometimes we were in one that hit for 15 hours. Do you know what the damage is done when just sustained winds keep hitting? You know, you can have a rock and you can have water hit a rock, but over time, the more it hits, it's going to affect the rock. You know, tonight, it's important that we don't just leave ourselves in sustained temptation. Joseph showed great character and great strength in this situation. You know, you remember after the great temptation experienced by Christ in the Gospels, Luke makes a most instructive comment, which emphasizes the persistency of temptation. He said, "The devil departed from Christ for what? A season." And in my Bible, I have that phrase underlined. He departed from Christ for a season. It means he was coming back. You know, today you might be, well, hey, everything's good in my life. Can I tell you to be careful? Because he only departs from a season. Roman numeral 2, Joseph waged a faithful war against temptation. And I think many times we have to look at it as a war. I think some of the greatest Christians in our church in Uganda were people who used to be soldiers. Because they knew the discipline it took. And we would go into some places where there were caves, and they would take me up and they'd say, "Ah, Pastor, we used to sleep in this cave as boys." And I'd say, "As boys?" And they were child soldiers, many times at 13, 14, 15 years of age. And they had put so much of their life, and after the UPDF, which is the Ugandan Police Defense Force, got them into their place, these young boys would grow up in that defense force. And they were some of the most disciplined men you would ever meet. But often when they would get saved, and they would live lives of sometimes debauchery, but when they got saved, it was like, hey, we are serving God. We are going to be all in. We are going to be 100% committed to what God wants us to do. And they made some of the greatest Christians you've ever seen. Today, I can call a couple of those guys. Some of them have called me, and they are doing a great job. You know why? Because they took what they had learned in the military, and they applied it spiritually to their lives. Joseph waged a faithful war against temptation. I think it helps us to remember 1 Corinthians 10:13 that there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer us to be tempted above that we are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. We'll learn from Joseph's conduct some of the ways we can escape temptation. I want you to notice four D's. Letter A, Joseph was decisive to defeat temptation. One of the soldiers I work with named George, one of the things he was really good at is as soon as a temptation would come up, he would say, "Pastor, when I was young, I would fall to this. I would fall to this all the time." He said, "But now," and he used the life of Joseph in his life a lot. He said, "You know, that Genesis 39 is important to me, Pastor." And I'd say, "Well, George, tell me why." He says, "Because Joseph always made the wise decision." And you know, it's a simple story and it's a historical account. But you know, how many times do we know what to do, yet we decide not to do it? Joseph, one of his secrets for defeating temptation was he was decisive to defeat temptation. Every time Joseph was solicited to sin by Potiphar's wife, he dogmatically declined the invitation to evil. Look in verse 8, but he refused. Look in verse 10, he hearkened not. And then we look, he left his garment. It was a sanctified, dogmatic no. He didn't hang around. Look at letter B. Joseph was determined in his daily actions to stand against temptation. We see that in verses 9 through 12. Joseph utterly refused the proposition of Potiphar's wife. We look at letter C. Joseph delighted in God's approval over man's approval. Notice what he said. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? The Bible says he hearkened not unto her, to lie by her or to even be with her. You know, that is the secret to great success is when you not only you see the sin, but now you're going, you know what? I'm not even going to be with her. I'm not going to be anywhere near her. We see you could discern his character because he said, number one, it's an offense against Almighty God. You know, the first thing we have to remind ourselves about sin is that it is against the God of heaven. He could discern this character. And he called it a great wickedness. And I think of in Psalm 119, 104, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. You know, Joseph just looked at the situation and said, you know what? I hate this false way. I'm not going in this direction. And you see, he totally went a different way. Why is it that he was so offended that God would be offended? Well, I think number one, Joseph realized that all sin is against God and made this his first priority. You know, if I can teach Mike and Michaela that the reason you're honest isn't because dad's gonna get you, it's because God wants you to be honest, then you know what? I've won a major battle in parenting. Because no matter where they go, when they go to college, when they're at school, they're not going to cheat, not because dad will kill them, which is entirely possible. But the other part of that is, you know what? I've got a God in heaven. I can't do this great wickedness. I can't do this. You know how disappointed God would be? If you can get that in your life where you don't want to disappoint the God of heaven, because one day every knee shall bow. One day every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And one day all the things that we look at in this life when we thought were so important are going to be as nothing. And we're going to say, why didn't I do more? Joseph realized that all sin is against God and made this his first priority. I think of if David would have done this. You know, this was Joseph's aha moment. Joseph could have fallen just like David. When I think of 2 Samuel 11:27, and when the morning was past, David sent and fetched Bathsheba to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And then Nathan came and said, thou art the man. Do you realize this could have been a time that Joseph could have always looked back in his life as a time where he fell that one time. And we would have had a great blight in Scripture. But we don't see that. Why? Because Joseph realized, number one, the sin is always against God first. Joseph realized that sin always breaks our fellowship with Almighty God. I'm reminded of Psalm 51:4. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. We see letter D, Joseph's strategy was to immediately depart from wickedness. He hearkened not unto her to be with her. He left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out, as the Bible says in verse 12. I'm reminded that Joseph lost his coat, but he kept his character. And how many times in business, when I was talking to someone recently and somebody wanted them to, so to speak, cook the books. And according to everybody else in this line of work, it was okay to kind of cook the books a little bit. But you know, that's how you lose. And this particular person said, you know what, basically it's better for me to lose my coat and keep my character. And you know that person? And I've seen this in other situations. Somebody can lose a job, but be honored by the God of heaven because they did the right thing. We see he hearkened not unto her to be with her. Temptation will have a hard time defeating us if we insist on honoring God in all that we do. Joseph knew a truth that we all need to know, namely that sin is against God and therefore dishonors God. If we treated sin like you would a phobia that you have. I've told you my wife has a phobia of sharks. I told you I have a phobia, I think, of snakes. However, when you're in an orphanage in a school and there's 40 girls in a dorm room and there's a spitting cobra underneath the bed, they call you to go in. And I can't be the one who's like, ah, I'm scared of a snake. I can't be that way. You know, you just have to kind of buck up and be like, all right. So I have a stick. You know, I can't use a weapon because it's concrete everywhere. So I have a stick. All the girls run out of the room. And they say, oh, Pastor Pittman, you come. And so I would come in. And sure enough, that snake would be there. Normally, when I walked in, I couldn't see it. What did I have to do? I'd have to get down on the ground, which is not the place you want to get down when there's a snake. You are putting yourselves in the most uncomfortable position. And I always looked at the girl, and we had one of our men is about 6'5", and he would like to go in, but he would always push me ahead of him. You know, he was like, Pasta, I hear it. I think it's over there. And I'm like, okay. And I'm thinking, you know, why aren't you in front of me, you know? And we would go over, and I would look, and I would try to kill this snake. And by God's grace, we killed over 110 snakes. But thankfully, by your prayers, I never got bit. That's why you need to pray for your missionaries. It wasn't because I am some great snake killer. It's because, you know, I was like a blind man with a stick. You know, I was just hitting it and killing it. But, you know, I'm reminded that in Uganda, whenever there was a snake, everybody ran. Nobody looked at it and said, Pastor, can we pick it up? Can we play with it? If you treated your temptation like that snake, do you realize how much pain that would release you from? You would never get bit. If as soon as you saw a temptation, you did like Joseph and just ran the other way, you'd be completely protected. How many times the one thing was I was the one who had to go kill the snake. You know, God never asked us to go kill the temptation. God never asked us to go kill the sin. He says, I've already paid for the sin on the cross of Calvary. I've already taken care of it. Don't fall to it. I've given you all strength to defeat temptation. In Uganda, I had to be the one to kill it. But you know, here in this life, I don't have to spiritually kill any sin. God says, I can take care of everything. You just need to trust in me. I've often thought conversely, I thought about this the other day. My mom, it's funny, sometimes when you think about somebody a lot of times you'll dream about them. And I had a dream where my mom and I had a very vivid conversation. And I woke up and, man, I was grieved because I wanted to go back to sleep and talk to mom. And, I look, and if my mom, if God allowed her to come and appear at that door, you know what I would do? I would run over and see her. You know what? That's the picture that God wants for us tonight. It's just not we run away from sin. It's we're running to the Savior. It's that we're running to the God of heaven. And he says, I am here. I want to give you all strength and all comfort. But I got to meet with you in the morning before you go to work. I want to share with you my word for you in this book. Do you want to hear my words? Do you want to hear my teachings? And if we treated like we would a loved one and we started running to God every morning, I think it would protect us from a lot of sins that we can fall into. Letter E, Joseph was willing to lose a coveted position in the world to maintain his integrity, as his character wasn't created in the crisis, but his character was revealed by the crisis. Many times I think it would serve us well to look at character isn't created in bad times. Character is revealed in crises. And how important is it for us to focus on serving God in the midst of trying times? Roman numeral 3, Joseph's faithfulness even endured great daily injustices. And we could look at that in the life of his brothers when he sold sold as a slave. We can look at it as he's in prison, and we'll skip on. But I want you to see Joseph lost two important things because he resisted temptation. Letter A, Joseph lost two important things because he resisted temptation. Number one, he lost his reputation by being accused and imprisoned for the allegations against him. And we must always take care of our character and let God take care of our reputation. Of all things in Joseph's life that he probably looked at and said, oh, now my reputation is ruined. I've done everything right. I fled away from this woman. I've done everything right, and now I'm being thrown into prison. Why doesn't God honor the righteous? We don't see that attitude in Joseph. We see Joseph being sent to prison, and yet who is the best worker in the prison? It's Joseph. Tonight, what situation are you going through at work? Maybe you're going through it in your marriage. Maybe you're going through it with your children. And God says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to endure the temptation, have the right attitude, have the right character. And we're worried about our reputation. Well, I've done the right thing, but my reputation is ruined. I think here it's important to realize that Joseph, in everyone else's eyes, he lost his reputation. Everyone believed probably that Potiphar, you've heard the saying, where there's smoke, there's fire. I'm sure many people believe that Joseph did some terrible things. Yet Joseph said, what matters? It's my character before my God. And I'm not going to become bitter against God. I'm just going to keep serving him, and I'm going to serve him with more fervor. There's been many Christians from time to time that have left this church. I talked to a man this week. His nephew used to come here, used to sit with me down here on these pews. And that young man got bitter at God when he was 19, 20 years old. I can still remember the situation that came up. And you know what? He went off and went off in a worldly way. He got into a situation where he was accused of some things that he didn't do, but it turned him against God because God wasn't fair. You know what? Joseph's life, he could have gotten bitter. Maybe you have some legitimate circumstances tonight that you say, well, God's not fair to me. This isn't working out the way I thought. Just remember Joseph. Remember, God loved Joseph, but God allowed Joseph to go through some terrible circumstances. We cannot control our reputation all of the time, but we can control our character all of the time. Even evil men may cruelly destroy our reputation, but we can keep them from destroying our character. We have a note here in our notes. We cannot have God's approval without character, but we can have God's approval without reputation. We cannot have God's approval without character, but we can have God's approval without reputation. Now, you would understand just like I would. We all want to have a good reputation. But at times, people might be thinking bad about us when we did right. Don't focus on those times. In the early church, there were some Christians who had jobs carving and polishing pagan images. When they were questioned about a Christian holding such a job, they attempted to justify their employment by saying, well, we have to live. Tertullian, one of the spiritual giants of the early church, answered that argument with a question, why must you live? And you know, today in our society, I think the question begs us to say, you know, there's certain things that we are not going to give in to just because the world says it's okay. There are certain things that, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And just because they say, well, this is how you have to live, we need some Tertullians that say, no, why must I live? I must sell out all of what God has asked me to do to serve him. We notice, number two, Joseph lost his job and comfortable living conditions as was sentenced to prison because of the false allegations. Psalm 105:18 says, Joseph's feet, they hurt with the fetters, and he was laid in iron. Joseph literally went through terrible circumstances, was imprisoned by his feet, was in great pain. Tonight, you might be in great pain, maybe not physically, but emotionally, mentally. You're in some situation and you don't understand why God has those fetters around your feet. God hasn't explained it to you. I'll remind you, nowhere in this passage of Scripture do we see God say, hey, Joseph, let me just tell you what I'm preparing you for. I'm preparing you for when you turn 30, you're going to be in charge of basically the palace. You see, God doesn't tell us 15 years down the road. He tells us to have character today. And this evening, I would remind us that even if we lose our job, if we lose our comfortable living conditions, we need to be like Joseph, who, let her be, Joseph daily had to depend on God in the prison and serve with the right heart attitude. We see this in Genesis 39:21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. This was a daily choice. You can't tell me that Joseph gets no recognition. He gets thrown in the jail. He's accused falsely of something he didn't do. He stood up to Potiphar's wife. He's thrown into prison. And how is he rewarded? Is he rewarded with great treasure? Nope. He's put in prison. But what was his attitude? I'm going to work harder than ever now. And God said, Genesis 39:20, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in his prison. Verse 23, and the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with Joseph, and that which he did, and the Lord made it to prosper. The Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. You know, tonight, maybe you're in a prison. Maybe you're in a situation and you say, my wife doesn't understand, my husband doesn't understand, nobody understands. Can I just remind you, I understand, I don't understand. But God understands. Would you keep going back to the book? Would you keep going back to your prayer life and saying, God, you know, cry out to him. No matter what temptation you're going through, remember, God's mercy sustained Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. You know, too many times we are drawn away by temptation. And I'm reminded that God kept refining Joseph's character. You can go there to that last slide. God kept refining Joseph's character with many setbacks that ultimately set Joseph up with a place of influence in the Pharaoh's palace. You know, what is God doing tonight in your life? Maybe he's refining your character. Tonight, perhaps God has placed some setbacks in front of us. Maybe there's some things in front of you that you say, these are big, big setbacks. We must persevere with the right attitude, as God is preparing us for a greater purpose that is yet to be revealed. Tonight, maybe you're looking at a container. You know, some of you probably are familiar with this, but in Brazil, 1987, there was a radioactive contamination cell. And the incident began when a private radiotherapy institute moved to a new site, and unknowingly they left behind this canister. Well, thieves broke in, grabbed this radioactive canister and took it out. and they didn't know what was inside it, had no clue. They started drilling holes into the side of this radioactive container. They sold it for a moderate sum of money to a scrap heap place, like a dump there at Brazil. And that man took it home and he started drilling holes in it and started noticing the blue light emanating from its source. The thieves sold the container to Dever Alves Fiera, the owner of a local scrapyard. He noticed the blue glow from the punctured capsule, and thinking the capsule's contents were valuable or even supernatural, he immediately brought it into his house. Over the next 3 days, he invited many of his friends and family to view the strange glowing substance. As Mr. Fiera and several other workers took the machine apart, piece by piece, inside they found the shiny bluish dust, which later they told doctors glowed in the dark. Attracted by the pretty powder, several people handled it, examined it, and even rubbed it on their skin and on their face. Soon, many people became very sick. A medical physicist used a device to confirm the presence of radioactive materials and immediately alerted the authorities. They reported this radioactive contamination accident in Brazil caused 4 deaths and left 112,000 people with severe radioactive contamination. Several houses had to be destroyed, and the International Atomic Energy Agency labeled it as one of the world's worst radiological incidents in history. You know, temptation to sin is always presented in a beautiful container. It's always looked at with something that, hey, maybe this is okay. Maybe I can just harbor it in for a little while. But we have no idea how it destroys our homes, not just physically, but spiritually, inside, outside. Tonight, what spiritual container have you stolen or you're hiding in the recesses of your mind? Maybe it's in the recesses of your computer. Maybe it's in the recesses of your home. Would you be quick tonight to confess whatever material you have that's radioactive and say, God, would you use me like Joseph? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Lord, we're thankful for your scriptures. Lord, I pray tonight that, Lord, as we have a time of prayer, Lord, that, Lord, as the piano plays, Lord, that we would make some decisions in our heart. And Lord, that you would allow us, Lord, to greater love you this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. As you're sitting there in your seat and you just want to talk to the Lord tonight, God kept refining Joseph's character with these many setbacks that set him up in a place of influence in Pharaoh's palace. As you take your prayer list tonight, and you look at it and you go over those requests, but you ask God to work in those requests, but ask God to give you a great fervor to serve him this week.